The following is a public lecture entitled The Power of the Hare Krishna Mantra, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 1st, 2012, in Timișoara, Romania.
This Hare Krishna Mantra has the power to make you who you really are. At the present moment, we are suffering, we're frustrated. Because we're not connected with the actual self within. Right now, we're connected with our external senses. In other words, just like your automobile, you're the driver, and external to you are the, you know, the steering wheel, the brakes, the wheels, the engine. That's not you. But just imagine if you started to think that I am this automobile. You know that actually happens? We all have that experience sometimes. You're driving down the road and you look over on the gas gauge and it says empty. And you go, oh no, I'm out of gas. Are you out of gas? No, you're not out of gas.
No.
Your car is out of gas. But you're misidentifying yourself with a car and thinking, I am out of gas. So in the same way, we misidentify with this blood and flesh. This blood and flesh is merely a covering of the actual self. The actual self is called Atma in Sanskrit. The self within. So the Hare Krishna mantra, or any bona fide mantra, frees you from misidentification with the external senses. And brings you back in understanding who you really are. In other words, by chanting Hare Krishna, you become self-realized. You become self-awakened. So when I say self-awakened, what does that mean? That means at the present time we are asleep. And what do you do when you sleep? You dream, don't you? So when you're dreaming, you're thinking, I am this, I am that. So many false things. So at the present moment, we are dreaming. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I am Romanian. I am Hungarian. I am white. I am black. I am young. I am old. Simply a dream. But this is not just a dream. This is a nightmare. Because at the end of this dream, you're killed. So it's actually a nightmare. But the real reality is, according to Bhagavad Gita, Najayate Namriyade Vakadachin. The actual reality is the soul is not born and the soul does not die.
Mm-hmm.
You may say, but I'm so addicted to serving my senses, I can't give it up. We don't say to kill your senses. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam. All we're saying is be restored to your original pure identity. By engaging your senses in the service of the master of the senses. We don't deny the senses. The senses are not false. Everything that exists is the energy of God. Just like here in Timisoara, you have a powerhouse that creates the electricity. It's illuminating this room. You see these light bulbs all lit up. You see, that's the energy of the powerhouse. So to say these light bulbs are false, that would not be a very good philosophy. If they are false, how are they brightening the room right now? So we never say the senses are false. All we say is they are not you. Just like the example I gave a few minutes ago. The driver in the car. The driver is real. And the car is also real. The car is not false, nor is the driver false. But if the driver thinks, I am this car, that is false. If he thinks, I am this car, then what do we have to do? We have to send him to a psychiatrist. You see? Because he's crazy. He thinks, I am this car. So I said, my dear sir, what is your name? He says, I am Chevrolet. So, if he thinks he is the car, then that is craziness, you see. So, if you think you're a man, if you think you're a woman, if you think you're a girl, if you think you're a boy, then you need to see a psychiatrist. But not any ordinary psychiatrist. Because the modern day psychiatrists, they also need to see a psychiatrist. Because they are also suffering in the false conception of the body being the self. So the real psychiatrist we need to hear from is, his name is Krishna. Krishna is the original psychiatrist. This book, hand me that book, Bhagavad Gita. This is the original book of psychiatry in the universe. Of how to free yourself from illusion. Of how to come out of the psychosis of bodily consciousness. How to become reawakened in your true actual identity. We don't say stop your sensual activities. You can eat. Everyone eats. There's no problem. Go ahead and eat. But take Krishna Prasadam. You can also sleep. Whatever sleeping you need to engage in Krishna's service, that is your quota. You can take that sleep. As far as sex life, you can have sex life. Hare Krishna is not against sex. We say use sex to produce beautiful, saintly children. In defending, my disciple works in a bomb factory. And she was in anxiety. Is this Maya? I mean, can I work in a bomb factory? Is that okay? I said, I don't know. You can work in a bomb factory. There's no harm. Actually, in the Vedic culture, there's a very strong military. They are not aggressive. They are defenders. If aggressors come, then they are very strong and powerful to protect the citizens from the aggressors. So we have our eating. We have our sleeping. We have our mating. And we have our defending. But we do it for Krishna. We don't do it for the false sense of identity. We do it all for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore we become liberated. What do we become liberated from? Thank you very much. Please sit down. We're so happy you've come. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Welcome. So we become liberated from all anxieties of material existence. What are the anxieties of material existence? Birth. Birth is pretty scary. So those babies come out smiling, going, wow. They come out screaming in total anxiety. Birth is very, very traumatic. And after you come out, you get sick. Again and again and again and again. Throughout your life, you get sick. And then, what happens? You get old. Your eyes go bad. Your ears go bad. Your knees go bad. Your bladder starts causing trouble. Your heart starts causing trouble. It's like an old car. It becomes like an old car. You have to go into the repair shop every other week just to keep the thing running. And then finally it becomes so useless that one dies, you see. So it's a very nice thing. Material existence is a very nice thing. No, it's full of these miseries. Birth, death, old age, and disease. So, as long as you continue to misidentify yourself with your material body, you must suffer. In fact, I can tell you this. If you experience any anxiety in your life right now, it is simply due to bodily consciousness. If you will realize, I'm not this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being. And this situation that I'm in right now is actually a special arrangement made by Krishna or God to liberate me from this material existence. If you realize and understand this and take full advantage of this human life that you've gotten, you're going to be feeling good every day. You wake up every morning with a big smile on your face. Wow! Another day to advance in Krishna consciousness. And how do you connect, you see? How do you get on the spiritual plane? That's called transcendental meditation. You have to fix your consciousness on the transcendental plane. And that's done by meditating on the holy names of God. That is the prescribed system for this age. We are presently in the age known as the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga lasts for 432,000 years. It began 5,000 years ago. And it's going ahead full steam. So if you don't take advantage of a process of spiritual emancipation, you'll be swept away by the Kali Yuga, which is like a gigantic tsunami sweeping everything away. But if you will take shelter of the boat of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, you will become transcendental to this Kali Yuga tsunami. So how do you do it? It's not difficult. How to get connected with the spiritual platform. In fact, it's fun. You just sing a beautiful little song. You can all join in with me. You be the echo. I'll sing it the mantra once and you can repeat after me. If you don't know it, it's right here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This sublime movement of chanting Hare Krishna mantra was brought to the Western world by my beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. He is the founder of Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have our branch here in Timisoara. We encourage you to come and associate with us regularly. This is one of the items for advancing in spiritual life. Become a part of the spiritual family. So we have a wonderful, wonderful spiritual family. In fact, we are a worldwide spiritual family. Please be a part of our family. We have various regulated principles. But even if you cannot follow our regulated principles, that's okay. Just come and chant with us, take prasadam with us, be happy.
You see.
Everyone can come and sing and dance and enjoy nice prasadam, spiritual food. And then if you would like to get very serious about becoming perfect in this lifetime, and then we can teach you the different regulative principles you can use to take your Krishna consciousness even higher. But even if you can't follow any of our principles, that's okay. Just come and sing and dance with us and take prasadam. We want you to feel that we love you. And that Krishna loves you. We want you to come and be a part of this wonderful family of Hare Krishna family. Because this Sangha or this association will give you a higher taste. You see, in this, we have two tastes. We have the spiritual taste and the material taste. Spiritual taste means you actually learn to relish having a loving relationship with God. You begin to understand that actually God is a person. And that He has unlimited names. Krishna, Buddha, Allah, Jehovah, so many millions and billions of names. There is one Supreme Godhead who is the source of everything. And He's a person. And He loves you more than you can even begin to imagine. So, you have to learn how to love Him in return. It's simply a matter of gratitude. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is called the yoga of gratitude. Because that's what all we're really doing. We're teaching you the attitude of gratitude. In Sanskrit language, the attitude, the gratitude attitude, that is called bhakti. You see, the attitude, the gratitude attitude is known as bhakti. So, the person understands that God has given me everything. So now let me reciprocate with God. He's giving me the air I breathe. He's giving me my beat, my heartbeat, you see. He's giving me the proper temperature that I can survive in. My food, my friends, my family, my money, my house, my job, my furniture, my refrigerator. God has given me everything. It's all His gift. You think this is all by the factories that we've gotten this stuff? Where does your factory get the raw materials to make your refrigerator? Do they just invent it out of the air? Even if they did, the air is given by God. But they take it out of the earth, you see. Everything that we have is all God's gift. Everything we have is God. So don't you think we owe Him some sense of gratitude? What do we do in the modern day society? We say, oh, there is no God. God is a myth. For less than children. like Santa Claus. Is it? This is such an offense. That's like saying my parents don't exist. They're an illusion. What an offense. How much sacrifice they made to raise you up and give you everything. Please come in. Please come in. Please come in. They give you all, the parents gave you everything. They gave you a place to live. They gave you clothing. They gave you education. Your parents gave you everything. And if you say that you're there false, what sort of gratitude do you have for your parents? What sort of son or daughter are you? You're simply an ingrate. An ungrateful person. Is it? So, how we can be ungrateful to God? Saying, oh, there is no God. Or God's not a person. He's just the energy. That's another ridiculous argument. God is just the energy. It's like saying, okay, this is electrical energy here. There's just the energy. But there is no powerhouse. Is that a very intelligent philosophy? There's so much electricity buzzing around Timisoara, but there's no powerhouse. There's no engineer who runs the powerhouse. Would that be accepted by any scientist as a scientific statement? Would any philosopher accept that that's a valid principle? We have the energy, but there's no powerhouse and there's no engineer. So how we can see all the energy of this universe? All the energy, the building, the earth, the air, the water, the ether, the fire, all the elements, there's simply various types of energy. How we can say there's no powerhouse generating the energy? How we can say there's no engineer who controls the power station? This idea there is no God is simply dogma. It is based on dogmatism and blind faith. Atheism is the most dogmatic, foolish teaching that has ever been introduced on this planet. Anybody who's an atheist, they're simply fool number one. That's all. Fool number one. It's like saying, I don't have any parents. You have to understand who is God. You have a father, right? He has a father, right? And he has a father. And he has a father. And he has a father. You go back until you come to the original father who has no father, and now you have come to God. To say there is no God is like saying I have no father. I just manifested myself out of nothing. So we should not be misled by these atheistic philosophers and scientists. Actually, they are not true philosophers and true scientists. Anyone who says they are not God, Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 7, text number 15, he says, Namang duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya pahita jnana atsarambhavam ashrita. He says, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, the lowest among men, whose knowledge has been stolen by illusions, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons do not surrender unto me. You see. So, if you want to be in that category, you can be in that category. That is God's kindness. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15. Savasya chaham hridisanda vishto mataksmatir gyanam apohanam cha. He says, I am seated in the heart of all living entities. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So do you want to forget God? He'll help you. He'll help you. If you want to deny his existence, he will give you so many arguments that you can use to so-called prove there is no God. Krishna or God gives forgetfulness to those who want it. That's how kind he is. And if you want to remember God, that he will give you also. So it's your choice, my dear ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to remember God? He gives you full facility. You want to forget God? He will give you full facility. An intelligent person will analyze, you see. Okay, I have a choice. I can remember God or I can forget him. So let me intelligently analyze what will be the result of remembering God. And what will be the result of forgetting God? That we can learn from the Vedic literatures. Human life is meant for God realization. So, if you don't use it for God realization, what sort of body do you think you will get in your next life? I can guarantee you this. If you want to forget God, you will not get a human body in your next birth. There are many other species available. The dogs are there, the cats, the armadillos. In Texas we have armadillos. There are so many species of life awaiting you if you want to forget God. But if you want to remember God, Krishna gives very nice instruction in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text number 6. He says, please come in. He says, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajatante kalevaram tam tam evaitikonteya sadatad bhavavavataha. He says, whatever state of being you remember when you quit your body, that state you will attain without fail, O son of Kunti. So, if you remember God at the time of death, you enter into the kingdom of God. You may say, well, I don't know about the kingdom of God. There's a story of one man, he was a drunkard. And he couldn't give up the liquor, you see. So his friend advised him, my dear friend, don't you realize by this drinking habit you're going to go to hell? He said, well, what can I do? I just can't give up this drinking habit. And besides that, my brother also drinks. In a sense, well, your brother also go to hell. He says, but my father also drinks. Oh, he will also go to hell. My uncle also drinks. He will also go to hell. Even my mother also. She will also go to hell. And he said, well, if we all go to hell, we'll all be together and we'll drink. So what is the problem? So some people, they think, I don't need to go to the kingdom of God. If I can drink in hell, I'll be happy in hell. But actually, if you study very carefully and scientifically, what is the difference between the kingdom of God and taking birth again in this material world, you will see it's a much better deal to go back to the kingdom of God. Because in this material world, you have to go through all types of miserable conditions. I mean, growing up, we had to be toilet trained. We had to learn to tie our shoes. We didn't want to go to school. We were forced to go to school. And finally, we're used to being in school. Now we're told we have to leave school and go out and work, and we don't want to do that either. It's just like... And finally, he used to working. He said, well, now you have to retire. And you only say, what can I do? I don't know how to engage myself. I don't have a job. It's like one anxiety after another, you know, whole life. And you have a body that's getting old and decrepit, you know, worn out. So that's the material world. You have to be afraid of automobile accidents, terrorist attacks, diseases. Now they're talking about in the next by 2025 there will be an acute shortage for a major acute water shortage for a major portion of the world population. Just in the next 12 years, 13 years from now, I mean, an acute water shortage for a major portion of the world population. Water shortage means food shortage also. What would you feel like if you didn't have enough water and enough food? That's where we're heading right now in the material world. Why? Because we're neglecting God, that's why. Krishna says that anadbhavanti bhutani parjanyo anasambhavaha jagadbhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rain. Rain is produced by the performance of yagya or sacrifice. And sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. So what is that sacrifice? In this age, we are meant to chant congregationally the glories of God's holy names. In every religion, one is meant to call out the name of the Lord, to glorify, to sing the glories of God, you see. Because we are neglecting them. We are singing so many rubbish songs from Hollywood, from Bollywood, you see. We're singing so many rubbish songs. We're not. Look, go on the radio. See how much glorification of God is on the radio. On the radio. How many pop songs glorify God? Sometimes, when I was growing up, sometimes they used to. Very rarely, every now and then there would be a song glorifying God. When I was a kid, I remember back in the 50s. There was one hit song, it was called "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." It's a song about God. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. It was a nice song, glorifying God. It was a top hit on the radio, you see. But that was just very rarely there'd be a song like that on the radio. But now, is there ever a top hit glorifying God? You see? No. We're completely neglecting God. When the U.S. government was, the U.S. was formed back in the 200 years ago, God is written there in their founding papers, the U.S. government. United States of America, they had God in their documentation. Look for God in the documentation of the European Union. Will you find God in there at all, even mentioned anywhere? Absolutely not. That's proof. When the United States of America was formed back in the late 1700s, God was mentioned many places. Even on the U.S. dollar, it says, "In God we trust." But where is the mention of God on the euro notes? You see? This is the so-called progress of modern civilization. And they're wondering why we can't hold the European Union together. What is the difficulty? If these European Union leaders would take guidance from us, we can make your European Union very strong and very powerful. But these rascals, they want strength and power without God. And they cannot have it. They cannot have it. If you want strength and power, there is unlimited strength and power in God. So if you surrender yourself unto Him, they're in a very strong, powerful position. In the time of death, you'll enter into His kingdom, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So perhaps some of you have some questions. I'd be happy, yes.
If Krishna gives people who want to forget about Him, gives forgetfulness, then what is the point in trying to convince them that God exists?
Yeah. Her question is very nice. If someone wants to forget God, what is the point of trying to convince them to remember God? It's like you're on the Titanic and it just hit an iceberg. But somebody says, "Oh, I don't think it's that serious. I'm going to go down to the ballroom and enjoy another dance in the ballroom." Everyone knows the Titanic can never sink. And the orchestra is playing a really a cool song down in the ballroom right now, and I'm just going down and dance with my boyfriend in the ballroom right now. Thank you. So what is the use of trying to convince them they need to be in a lifeboat instead of being in the ballroom? So why would you try to convince them to come to the lifeboat instead of heading for the ballroom? That is your compassion upon them. That is your love for them. They may take your advice and come to the lifeboat, or they may neglect and go to the ballroom. But I can tell you, there are a rare number of people out of the world population who will go to the lifeboat. The percentage is very small.
Procesul e foarte mic.
If there's a million people drowning, and I told you that if you made the endeavor, you could save one of them, would you make the endeavor?
Dacă 1000 de oameni sunt pe cale să se nece și dacă spun că dacă te strădui poți să salvezi unul, ai face această străduință?
Because the other 999,999 will not take your advice. Will you therefore you let that one person drown also? The point is this. Out of those 1 million people you try to convince, one of them will take it. You had to work very hard. Actually, in sales, any salesman knows, so what's the use of trying to sell this product because practically everybody will say no. Do we have any professional salesmen in the audience today? Or any book distributors? They do full-time book distribution. Yeah. Part-time. Yeah, part-time. Here, we have a part-time salesman here. Very good. Hari Bol, Sankirtan Devotee Ki Jai. Hari Bol. So, anyone who goes out and does sales work knows, and a good salesman knows the art of relishing the no's. Because he's calculated, he's studied his own sales statistics. And he has seen that for every 89 no's, after every 89 yo's, on the average, he gets a yes. Do you want a Bhagavad Gita? No. You want a Bhagavad Gita? No. He actually relishes every no, because he's counting it down, okay, you know, 1, 2, 3, by the time I get to 89, I'm going to hit a yes. So he relishes the nose. These nose are sweeter than the sweetest honey. Because they are stepping stones on the pathway to yes. So that's why you should have to convince everyone to surrender to Krishna. Because every rejection you get from someone who says, I'm not interested in Krishna, you are one step closer to that person who will say, thank you, my dear lady, for saving my life. It is by your kindness, it's by your mercy that I was saved. So, keep trying to convince everybody. And take every no as a step closer to that person who will take your advice and surrender to Krishna. Next question. In the back there, yeah.
He says that how can we understand the example you gave about the disciple who is working in a bomb factory and he can be engaged in the Lord's service?
How can a bomb be engaged in the Lord's service?
The disciple who works in a bomb factory.
Yeah, the disciple working in a bomb factory, okay.
How can he be engaged in the Lord's service doing this?
Oh, by using that income in the service of the Lord. That's all. Then. I'm working in a bomb factory and I take my income and I spend it in Krishna consciousness, and that bomb factory becomes transcendentalized. There's nothing wrong with having a strong military if some demons come to attack your country.
You see?
I explained earlier, military should not be an aggressive force. But the military of every country must be strong, that if any demons come to attack that country, you can protect yourself from those demons.
Forța militară trebuie să fie puternică în caz că demonii atacă țara, să te poți proteja de ei, să te poți apăra.
Sometimes it happens here in Europe, you see. It's like Hitler came. He wanted to conquer all of Europe and make it his, all Europe his country. Nobody was strong to defend himself against the attack. And therefore he just ran over Europe. So there's nothing wrong with having a strong military. But if the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, there won't be any demons anymore. We don't have to worry so much about military then, you see. Now such a huge percentage of the national budget goes into military expenses. If we, that money, some of that money could be channeled into funding the Sankirtan movement. Then we wouldn't need such a strong military anymore, because everybody's chanting Hare Krishna, nobody is aggressive anymore. Everybody's chanting Hare Krishna. We should spread the Krishna consciousness movement to every single country in the face of this planet, you see. Let everyone chant and dance in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And we don't have to worry so much about aggressors anymore. But still, there has to be some powerful warriors just in case the aggressors arise somewhere. So, any other questions? Yeah.
Ce oamenii apreciază bunele calități la alții, dar nu vor să le dezvolte ei înșiși? În sensul că le place să fie o persoană umilă, dar ei nu vor să fie umili.
Why do people appreciate good qualities in others, but they don't develop them? For example, like they like humble people, but they don't want to be humble.
Why is it that sometimes humble people are appreciated and glorified in society, but they themselves don't want to be humble? Right? Just like, for example, many people appreciate Lord Jesus. Who could be a greater emblem of tolerance and humility than Lord Jesus? So why people are not like, why they don't have the qualities like Jesus? Why they don't do them? Because there's no proper guidance, that's the problem. The Christian church does not teach people how to develop saintly qualities. I grew up in a Christian church, I know. They teach you that you will always be sinful. You can't give up being sinful, but you can be forgiven. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, blessed are the pure. Christ says, blessed are the pure, for they will see God. Well, we were taught, you can never see God because you're so impure and so sinful, you can never see God. We were never taught that we could become pure. Because the leaders themselves are eating meat. They are not pure. Even the big Christian leaders, they're eating meat. So it's a sinful activity. They are not pure. So how they can teach anybody to become pure? But if you have a bona fide scripture like the Bhagavad Gita, you have a bona fide guidance in the form of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord. If you have bona fide guidance in the form of a bona fide spiritual master, then you can actually get the vision, get the empowerment to become pure. In my own life, I understood Lord Jesus was a perfect being, you see. I understood the only way I could be happy was to develop Christ consciousness, to develop the qualities of Christ. But nobody in the Christian church I had ever met had the ability to train me how to become Christ-like. But then I found someone who could train me to become Christ-like. Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. They could train me how to become Christ-like. So it's simply a matter of improper education. That's the problem. We need to have proper teachers in every educational institution, all the way from little children all the way to the university. There has to be pure Brahmins who are teaching at every level in the educational system. And then we can get actual saintly people out of our schools and colleges. You see. But now they learn how to become more sinful by going to the universities. As soon as a girl goes to the university, immediately she loses her virginity, you see. So this is the so-called educational system, you know. It pollutes. Prabhupada calls them slaughterhouses. So any other questions? So I've been speaking for an hour now. Yes? All right.
What can we do in our day-to-day life, practically, in order to identify ourselves with the self and not with the body?
Very good question. Wow, that's a really good question. Hold up the japa mala. The first thing is, you need to get the japa. Do you have japa mala already? Yeah. You rise early in the morning, you take your bath, get up before sunrise, take your bath, and take your japa mala and chant the holy names of God around the beads, you see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is so, or God is so kind that He is present in the form of His name. So if you call out to Him in a mood of like a child calling for the mother, Krishna will come and be with you during your meditation. So Prabhupada says, try to feel when you chant the japa, try to feel how Krishna is present. So you begin your day associating with Krishna, going as deep and deep and deep into the sweet ocean of His nectarian sangha. And then you can read some scriptures, read the Bible, read Prabhupada's books. Then you make your breakfast. No meat, fish or eggs. You offer that food to Krishna and take that food stuff. Now you're fully surcharged with spiritual energy. You can go to school. You can do your housewife duties. You can work a job. You can do anything and offer the result of that work to Krishna. Then in the evening you should also come to the Hare Krishna Center or do some studying at home. Hear some lecture tapes, some lecture CDs now, or MP3s now is the new thing. We used to say tapes. That doesn't make sense anymore. Even CD. Now we say listen to some lecture MP3s. You see? And this way, you see, always try to remember Krishna. It's very simple, as I pointed out yesterday. Krishna says, I'm the taste of water. You see, so when you drink water, Krishna. Krishna is that taste, that very nice taste of water. Or any liquid thing, Prabhupada. Fruit juice, that's Krishna. Milk, any liquid thing, that is Krishna. So in this way, try to connect with Krishna in everything that you do. Put nice pictures of Krishna. Here's just like this beautiful, beautiful picture of Krishna here.
You see?
Put some, things like this around your house. Pictures of Krishna, the Maha Mantra, posters of Prabhupada, you know. Get a whole library full of these books. Just completely inundate your house with Krishna consciousness. So anytime you're in your house, you feel like you're in the spiritual world. So in this way, you know, take guidance. And we have devotees here who are very, very nicely fixed in Krishna consciousness. Our temple president is here, Murari Krishna Prabhu. Take guidance from him, how to advance in Krishna consciousness. The other devotees too, some senior preachers. Take advice from these and guidance from these devotees. In this way, by associating with the devotees, associating with your temple president here, by associating with Prabhupada's books, by hearing lectures, by chanting the holy names, taking prasadam. You become a pure devotee of the Lord. And Krishna will reveal himself to you. It simply requires practice. How do you accomplish a 1,000-mile journey? Paday, paday, step by step. So the pathway to pure bhakti is very simple. I simply have to remember Krishna now. And a minute later, again, I have to remember Krishna. Just keep remembering Krishna in everything that you do. And that day will come when you become completely pure devotee. And you will see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. Is that all right? Another question?
Yes. What's the quality we should strive the most to develop in order to advance?
Love for Krishna. That's the most important thing. If you love Krishna, try to love him. How beautiful he is. How wise he is, how powerful he is, how rich he is, how famous he is. You see? He's more famous than the Beatles. Krishna is the supreme everything. So just try to, in the Rajavasis, they don't even care if he's God or not. They just love him like anything. So always think about Krishna, read about Krishna, talk about Krishna, be everything. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Develop your love for Krishna. That is the quality you must develop. Any other? All right.
How can a blind man turn towards the sun?
How can he do what with the sun?
Turn towards the sun. Turn to the sun.
He can feel the heat. One can feel the heat, a blind man can feel the heat of the sun. You can say, okay, now my dear blind man, I want you to turn and face the sun. Can he do that? Yes, he can feel the heat. When the one is blind, his other senses become more strong. So he can feel the heat. He will know which way the sun is by feeling the heat. Especially in the summertime. be very easy for him. Even you, if you close your eyes in the summer and we say, okay, put a blindfold on now, I want you to face the sun, you'll be able to figure it out. Next question.
So the lady asked, how can you stop thinking about the body and realize that you are a self? And you said all the measures were very physical, books, chanting. That did not include the self she was talking about, I think.
But she said that Mataji, she asked, how can we understand we are the self, not the body? And what you explained were the books and things that were also material objects. And you didn't say anything about something spiritual like the self.
How do we understand the self is not the body?
Yeah, she asked, how can we understand practically that we are the self and not the body?
It's a very simple thing. You can analyze. Just like I remember I was a little boy. I remember the first one day, without telling my parents, I walked out the door of our house to explore the world. Actually, I was walking down the railroad track. I didn't even know how dangerous that was. A little tiny boy, maybe 5 years old or something, walking down the railroad track all by himself. And I thought I'd seen enough of the world, so I turned around and went back to my house, you see. My parents were so relieved, I had disappeared. They didn't know where I went, whether I'd been kidnapped. They had no idea. They were in total anxiety. I just came walking back to the house. They were so happy I came back. So, where are the chemicals that made up that body? Are they still here? Those chemicals that made up that little boy's body, I had them. Those chemicals are not there anymore. They're long gone. But yet I remember being there doing that. The body has changed. Those chemicals have changed. At every moment, the old blood corpuscles are dying and new blood corpuscles are taking their place. But in spite of all of these changes of body, the self remains the same. You study your own life, my dear sir. I'm sure if you think deeply enough, you can remember some childhood experiences. So those chemicals now which constitute your body are not the same chemicals that constituted your body then. The body changes, but the self remains the same. It's like somebody starts off, you know, with a cheap car, and they first buy a car, a very cheap used car. Then as their income increases, they get a nicer, a little bit nicer car, and a little bit nicer car, and a little bit nicer car. The person remains the same. But the car changes. The body changes. Even throughout this life, the body is constantly changing. I'll even be more dead to the point here. The body you have now is not the same body you had when you walked in this room an hour ago. This body is a bag of chemicals. So here we are, all sitting in this room, We are inhaling and exhaling. Some of the chemicals that are us are coming out and they're going into other bodies. We're switching bodies with each other, even in this room. What was part of your body when you came in, now it's part of my body. It's by our breathing we're switching bodies with each other. But the cells always remain distinct individual units. Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody satisfied now? Draupadi, do you have any questions? No question? Okay. All right. Okay, we'll stop here. And we have these wonderful books. Everyone come and we invite everyone to come and see these wonderful books. Hare Krishna. Oh, yes, I have on the internet if you want further information. If you're inspired by this talk, you might be like to get on my e-course. You go to www.joincourse.com. www.joincourse.com. Thank you very much.